Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
What child is this? I've asked myself this question some 30 years now, thirsty for the answer since the day he was born. What did I know then of great and mighty things? I was just a girl fetching water that day. The stranger appeared to me with those curious words. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. He must have seen the change in my face, the one I now know to be an angel. Do not be afraid, he said. You will be pregnant with God's son, and he will be great, this child, forever and ever, and he will rescue his people. That was the exact moment. It was more than curiosity. I thirsted for more. I watched in silence as he was visited by shepherds and scholars, all with stories of angels and stars and grand pronouncements. One day, I found him in the temple. He was a boy, speaking wisdom with men old enough to be his grandfather. And I am awed, and I am thirsty. And now, he has grown up, my boy. I watch him do and say curious and wondrous things. I hear him say, I am living water. Do I drink? Do I dare drink? Yes, I have been the favored one to see him grow into a man. What else will he do? Every step he takes seems to be filled with wonder. My baby, my boy, this man, my God. Yes. I look back on that night, some 30 years ago now, and I remember holding him close, so thankful to be his mother, knowing this would be no ordinary child. I am still thirsty, yes. But I do believe I know where to find the water.
It's interesting to consider who Jesus was from his mother Mary's perspective as he grew to be an adult and then entered his public ministry 30 years after the night that Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem on that first Christmas night. I mean, our kids, Jack and Lou, they're growing up so fast, you know, at 12 and 10, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like to watch them mature and grow into adults, Lord willing. Watching their lives mature, watching them grow as the years and hopefully decades pass by. You know, for Mary, she had a unique perspective. A unique perspective to the question that we've been considering this Christmas season from that famous Christmas carol, what child is this? I mean, he was the one who was quenching the thirst on the inside for all that God had promised his people. He was the one who was healing the sick. He was the one who was feeding the hungry. He was one who was giving sight to blind people. He was the one who turned water into wine at the wedding at Cana. And Mary was right there to see it, to experience it, to taste it. Among all the other aspects of Jesus' ministry and teaching. What an interesting perspective Mary must have had of who Jesus really was. From that baby that she gave birth to in the manger, to this man who now was standing before her very eyes, doing such wonderful things for her people. She soon would stand next to her son as he hung on a cross, but where we are in the video and in the timeline, that hasn't happened yet. She's still wrestling with the question, what child is this? What child is this? The opening lines of that rich Christmas carol that I mentioned, that we've been considering and reminding ourselves this Christmas season, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? If you listen to that song, that Christmas carol, those lyrics go on to answer this question. And during part of the last line that's repeated in the chorus, this child is the babe, the son of Mary. Luke's gospel tells us how Mary's son would be conceived and that his name would be Jesus. And Mary learns of this news in a unique and an unforgettable way. It's recorded in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. I invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 1 or turn on your Bible if you're reading it off of your device. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of us, Luke 1 is going to be on page 855. While you're turning to Luke 1, let me publicly say thanks to Kevin Kusinoki for filling the pulpit last week while our family was out. I hear my job is on the line now, that he is bringing it and bringing it well. So Kevin, thanks so much for leading us last week. I knew that you would do such a wonderful job teaching and preaching through the scriptures. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, says this: In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite our artists in the room to draw me a picture or sketch a rendering of what you think Mary's face looked like. Her face. What did her face look like when she received that news from the angel? The reason I want you to think about her face is because in her womb, a little face was being created. And I wonder if the eyes and the nose and the lips and the ears of the little face that was being created was a chip off the old block. Do you think Jesus physically might have some facial features, of his birth mom? You ever thought about that? Talked to somebody about that. I said, man, I've never even thought about that. I went, great, we found an angle. One of the hardest things for pastors to do, preachers to do, is introduce an old story from a new point of view. And hopefully this morning we can do just that. What child is this? It's the babe, the son of Mary. Luke clearly states that the son of Mary was to be named Jesus. She'd have to wait to see what he actually looked like. There were no 4D sonograms in her days. No, she was going to have to just wait the 9 full months before she saw her baby, Jesus, face to face. I mean, as we just mentioned, as with any child, attributes and characteristics of both of the child's birth mother, birth father can be recognized in different ways. They can be on display. I mean, Allison and I can look at Jack and Lucy and go, oh man, he's got my, oh, she's got, you know, your attitude. She's got your stubbornness. She got your this, that, the other. We can look at our kids and we can see glimpses of ourselves in them. This one reminds me of that in you. That one reminds me of this in me. They're chips off the old block. A chip off the old block. Say that with me. A chip off the old block. What about Jesus? Did he have any characteristics of his parents? I mean, he probably didn't have any physical characteristics of his earthly dad, Joseph. Joseph adopted Jesus to be his son. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next Sunday morning on Christmas Eve. But what about his mom? What about Mary? I mean, did Jesus have her eyes? Her nose? Did he have her heart for people in some ways that people would go, wow, you're just like your mom in that? Remember, we just read about his conception. And he said, the angel of the Lord told the Virgin Mary in the passage that we just read from earlier that Jesus was conceived in her in such a way that it was not from man, it was from the Holy Spirit of God. What does that mean? As far as Jesus' attributes and characteristics that would be on display once Jesus was born, although he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a great question we're asking. What child is this? What child is this? Well, John's gospel says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is spirit. Say that word spirit with me. Spirit. God is spirit. Write this verse down. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. You're going to have to turn your minds on this morning. Stay with me this morning. We're going to think a little deeper this morning. Hebrews 1 verse 3 states the following about who this child that was born in the manger in Bethlehem really was, the one that people could see and know and experience. Hebrews 1 3 says this, He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that when people looked at Jesus, they were looking at and they were seeing what God looked like. The exact imprint of His nature. You know what that verse means? That verse means Jesus was a chip off of God's old block. That's what that means. He's a chip off the old block. Thus, the child that's referenced in the Christmas carol is God in the flesh that embodies the exact representation of God the Father who was conceived in the womb of Mary by way of the Holy Spirit. So what does all that mean? What does all that mean when it comes to answering our question, what child is this? Here's what it means. It means Jesus is fully God. That is who this child is that we sing about in the Christmas carol. Okay, I want you to take a deep breath with me on three. One, two, three. Because we're going to dive deep doctrinally this morning. You're going, oh my goodness, how are we going to do that? Just hang with me, okay? Cowboys don't play till tonight. We're going to be here till 7. Just kidding. We'll see if we can rein it in a little bit. But I do want to dive deep doctrinally with me because you can't miss this. This is who you're preparing room for. Jesus is fully God. But I want to dive deep down because the Greek term that I want to talk about with you on this deep doctrinal truth of who Jesus is, what child is this word, homoousios. Homoousios. Homoousios means God the Son and God the Father are of the same substance. Jesus the Son is a chip off the old block of God the Father. Jesus is of the same substance of God the Father. That means Jesus is fully God. At the same time, Jesus also is fully human. Because as both the Scriptures and that Christmas carol states, He is the Son of Mary. So, what child is this? Jesus is the Messiah who was born both fully God and fully human at the same time, and that doesn't confuse Jesus at all. That might confuse us a little bit, but that doesn't confuse Him in the slightest. The Apostle Paul writes about this phenomenon, this unique characteristic of Jesus. I know some in your life group talked about that this morning. The Son of God, the Son of Mary. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes in verses 6 through 8, though He, Jesus, was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Watch this. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself. Two different important phrases that we're looking at here. In the form of God, at the same time, being found in human form. What does that mean? Jesus is fully God and Jesus is fully human. Homoousios, of the same substance. Thus, while there certainly are reflections and attributes in Jesus' life that clearly display God the Father. Likewise, there are reflections from Mary's life that are seen in her Son's being that help us answer this question, what child is this? A son having attributes and characteristics of his mother does not make him any less male. Rather, it simply completes the design of who God created this Son to be that includes imprints, reflections of the mother as one of her Son's parents. We see throughout the gospel accounts the way that Jesus deals with people, especially children. Doesn't He deal with them with compassion and kindness and tenderness? I can only imagine how Jesus saw His mom. What was her name? Mary, you're with me. I can only imagine Jesus watching His mom deal with kids and other people with compassion and patience and tenderness. I mean, repeatedly, Jesus takes time to value children and to value people who are in the margins of life by giving them dignity and reaching out to embrace and to bless them, to lay hands on them with appropriate, meaningful touch. Don't you see that as you read the Gospels? I do. Mary, described by the angel of the Lord as the one who had found favor with God. Jack and I and Lucy and I were talking about what it means to find favor with God as we were going to Last Jedi. Awesome, by the way. No spoilers here. Mary found favor with God. Why? Maybe it was because of the way that she was compassionate and patient and tender with people. And man, what a great set of attributes and characteristics to be the mother of God. This child mentioned in the carol is the one who lay sleeping on Mary's lap as a babe, but one day would grow as a man and to be a man, mature, and yet exhibiting care and compassion to others, perhaps just as he watched and saw his mom observing to others. As mentioned in Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the exact imprint of God. The exact imprint of God. It's interesting if you study Scripture and you see how God inspires writers throughout the ages to describe who He is. Some of the characteristics that are recorded in Scripture are really, really interesting. And it includes what scholars call motherly language, motherly descriptors of God. Don't have time to show you all of them. Let me just show you two this morning. Two examples of motherly imagery in the Bible of who God is from different ends of the spectrum. One of compassion, one of anger. Do you have a mom that experiences both of those, that demonstrates both of those? Oh, she can be so compassionate, but oh, don't cross her. I wonder if that was Mary. Maybe. Look what it says in Isaiah 66, verse 13. It'll be on the screen. We see God comforting His people like a mother comforts her child. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That's biblical imagery with motherly language describing God. Since Jesus is the exact representation of God, He too must have comforted others like a mother, like His mother, a chip off the old what? A chip off the old block. Let me show you a second example from the other end of this spectrum. God in His fury at times is depicted as a mama bear. A mama bear robbed of her cubs from the Old Testament prophet Hosea. Hosea 13 verse 8 describes God's fury like this. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. And since Jesus is the exact representation of God, He too must have had something rise in Him at times, like a mama bear robbed of her cubs at times. We see this kind of emotion, this characteristic, this attribute coming out of Jesus when He's going into the temple and He's seeing the people of God not being robbed of cubs, but being robbed by the temple tax and all this money changing that's going on in there. And He overturns things and like a mama bear, just the fury coming out, righteous fury coming out. And I wonder if that was a glimpse of Mary, His mom. I wonder if she was like that when she got angry. And maybe Jesus is just a chip off the old block. These are just two examples from the Bible. I could show you a whole lot more. You're sitting there going, wait a minute, why are you showing me examples of motherly imagery of God from the Bible? Because this motherly imagery is stated in the Bible as descriptions of the nature and character of God. And because the Scriptures state that Jesus is the exact representation of God, these characteristics must be true of Jesus as well. Therefore, these characteristics that would be true of Mary also are true of the Son of Mary, who also is the Son of God. He's a chip off the old block or blocks. Jesus is Heavenly Father, Jesus is Earthly Mother, the chip off the old block. And it helps us understand more completely, what child is this? What child is this? Additionally, both Mary and Jesus, as we read about their lives in Scripture, both Mary and Jesus display strong lives that are willing to receive a mission that includes great faith, great hope, and great trust in their Heavenly Father. You see, when Mary received the mission from the angel of the Lord to conceive and to carry the Son of God in her womb, remember what her response was in Luke 1:38? It was, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That was Mary's experience. Likewise, if we fast forward to Jesus' life after he's born on earth and he's toward the end of his ministry, when Jesus grew to adulthood and was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying about the mission that he had received and came from heaven to earth to accomplish, he'd been given this mission to go all the way to the cross to die for the sins of all humanity. And he, Jesus, just like his mother, Mary, prayed a very similar prayer of humble submission to their heavenly Father. Again, Luke's gospel records the prayerful and submissive interaction. Look what it says here on the screen from Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 43. Jesus, it says, he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Isn't it interesting? An angel appears to Mary, an angel appears to Jesus. Both of them are submitting themselves to the mission that God's given them. Wow. Both Mary and her son, Jesus, they both pray the same kinds of prayer. "Let it be to me according to your will. Not my will, but your will be done." He's a chip off the old. He's a chip off the old block. Mom, what kind of prayers are you teaching your kids to pray? Would you be okay if they were a chip off the old block when it comes to the way that they pray? I can't think of a better legacy for moms and grandmoms to leave their kids than teaching them how to pray. If you're going, I'm going to take an incomplete on that. I don't want to take a zero on that because that's a major test grade, but can I take an incomplete? You can take an incomplete. You go, "You need a little tutoring? Need a little help?" And go, "Yep, I'll take some tutoring on that. Where do I go for tutoring?" It's called a life group. I'll tell you a great life group. If you're kind of going, "Where do I get into that? Because next week, well, man, next week we don't have life groups. What am I going to do?" Hey, when 2018's coming, that first Sunday in 2018, George and Beth Butler and John and Vicky Partner are starting a brand new life group for people of all ages, adults in all ages of life, all kinds of different places in life, different family dynamics. In a life group, you'll be with other people who are walking through the very same things you are and who will share notes on how to pray and how to teach your kids to pray and how to walk through the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you would like somebody to follow up with you to being connected with a life group, get more information about that, no commitments, just more information, just fill that out, a little connect card, and just in the space here, just write life group, and George will give you a call this week. He'll follow up with you, and he'll invite you personally. If we keep looking at the comparison, a continued comparison reveals that both Mary and Jesus, that they lived lives of great consequence that included deep pain. Raise your hand if you've ever been in deep pain. Deep pain, maybe emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally. Deep pain. Mary and Jesus both experienced lives of deep consequence and deep pain. That scene that we read about just a moment ago, Jesus praying in the garden of Gethsemane, just described a little glimpse into the difficulty that Jesus endured in those moments before he would be arrested and beaten and taken to the cross. Deep pain. In a very brief scene after the birth of Jesus, back in Luke's gospel, shows a prophetic word spoken over Mary, spoken over Jesus, over Joseph. They were in the temple. It's just a very brief scene right after Jesus is born. And this prophetic word includes pain and sorrow. In Luke chapter 2, verses 33 and 35, it says this, "And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" It's talking about pain. It's talking about sorrow that's come into Mary's life because of her son. This prophecy concerning ramifications surrounding her child, it also echoes the very lyrics that are in that Christmas carol that we're looking at this whole Christmas season. What child is this? At the second stanza, look at these lyrics that are in "What Child Is This." It says, "Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary." See, these lyrics speak to the reason that Jesus was in such agony emotionally and mentally and spiritually and soon would be physically when he's praying in the garden about the mission that he had been sent to accomplish. And the allusion in the time of dedication in the temple that we just read about in Luke 2 from Simeon, that refers to this heart-piercing moment that will be three decades on the horizon when Mary too would be in great pain as she watched her son finish what he came to do. Both Jesus' heart and Mary's heart would be pierced from the cross experience. And this is part of the answer to our question, what child is this? And yet, regardless of the pain that Mary knew that she would experience in watching her son suffer on the cross, Mary was present in both his pain and hers. John's gospel account, it notes that it was Mary, Jesus' mother, who was standing at the foot of the cross on that faithful and painful day. John 19, 25 says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother Mary." Mary. Never would Jesus' mother leave him nor forsake him, especially in his hour of need. And likewise, one of the characteristics of Jesus, what child is this? He's Emmanuel. It means the God who's with us when we're bearing our own cross, when we're in the midst of our own pain. He's a chip off the old block. Just like his mother Mary, right next to him to the end of the age. It's one of the most powerful scenes of compassion and care being mutually displayed between mother and son is at the cross. While Mary seeks to be near, comforting and supporting her son, and likewise we see the compassion and the care of the son of Mary back to his mother. In that same moment, John goes on to say this in John 19, 26 and 27. It's on the screen. It says, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" Talking about John next to him. "And then he said to the disciple," we believe it's John, "'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." What an incredible picture of love and compassion that Jesus just displayed to his own mother. While he hung there dying, he still had the capacity, to make sure that she was taken care of in his absence. This helps us to complete our understanding to this question of who this child is. What child is this? Who would he become? Well, Jesus is the one who loved others and loved his family to the very end. That's who he is. Because even when you love people in the midst of their pain, all the way to the end, man, you look a whole lot like Jesus. And you look a lot like his mother, Mary, who was there with Jesus in his pain. In other words, you're a chip off the old block. Just like Jesus, just like Mary, when you're with people in the midst of their pain. I saw this demonstrated yesterday. Richard Blair went to be with the Lord yesterday, member of our church, had the privilege of baptizing him a few years ago. And he's just been on hospice care. Cancer's eating him up. Walked in Friday night. His wife, Lori's just laying in his hospice bed with him, just holding his hand, stroking his hair. And she was there yesterday when she called me about 10:25, said, Richard just went to be with the Lord. I said, I'll be right there. I walked in. She's there. His mom's there. Family's there. We just sat there and we talked about his life and we waited for the funeral home to come and to take his body to prepare it to be celebrated at his funeral this week. And it was really interesting. They're in preparing him, putting the sheets around him and preparing to take his body out. I'm just standing there with Lori and with his mom and his family. And the hospice nurse says, you may want to step out for a moment. You may not want to see this. His mom said, oh no. I saw him when he came into this world. I'm going to be here when he goes out. Whew. I mean, you talk about a sacred and a holy moment. Wow. Standing in the midst of someone's pain is such a sacred and holy moment. Loving them, caring for them, just reminding them that they're not alone. And then maybe there's somebody in your family this Christmas season, or in your office, or in your school, or your neighborhood, and you know they're going through some pretty deep pain, and the best present that you could give them this Christmas is your presence. Maybe this Christmas is the first time in this calendar year that somebody is going through a Christmas without a special someone. And you could just acknowledge that. Not to replace that someone, but just to let somebody know, I'm thinking about you. Let's go to Starbucks and just talk about that person. The stories, memories, the good things. I mean, I remember I don't want to toot my own horn, but I just want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. When we were at the Heights, there was a dear friend there named Allie Flo Voss, and her husband died a few years ago, and this was the first Christmas through, and I knew that she was hurting. She's just one that I was really close with, and Allie and I just said, hey, let's take Jack and Lou, and let's invite Allie Flo to go to Starbucks and go to dinner and go look at Christmas lights, and we invited her. You would have thought we bought a trip to Hawaii for her, and it blessed her so much. You know who else it blessed? And that became an annual tradition for us. Until she then went to be with the Lord a few years ago. Just a little bit of time and a little bit of effort made a huge difference. Jesus was selfless and sacrificing beyond measure. He was kind and considerate even when experiencing his worst day in the worst way. And he was the one who came willingly to go through the worst in order that we might have an opportunity to experience the best. Who might God want you to open your heart and life to with that kind of compassion, that kind of withness, that kind of presence this Christmas? If you'll do that, you'll look a whole lot like Jesus, who looked a whole lot like Mary. and you'll be a chip off the old block.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.